never, and this, as a man, I never had this thought in my life. She says, I was told by my mother that if I take a jog by myself, I cannot have my hair in a ponytail. Never thought.
Him in spirit, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body.
Welcome to Question Christianity. I'm your host, Jay. To my right is...
Hello, it's Rix.
This is B.
And this is J2.
When you told him, you didn't give me enough room. I was like, oh, I'll just say J, and then he said J. How about...
J2.
Producer.
Producer,
we'll call producer.
Call Mr. Producer.
Mr. Producer.
And here on this podcast, we put the question in Question Christianity. Now, full disclosure, most of the people you'll hear on this podcast are believers in God and Jesus Christ and believe that he is their savior. However, we have questions just like anybody else. And we're going to discuss topics that aren't necessarily topics that the church wants to talk about. The first one being on this show, Rix, do you know what the topic of this show is by any chance?
I believe it's the church and sexual assault or sexual abuse.
The church and sexual abuse, and which, of course, sexual assault falls in that same, what's the word I'm looking
at? Category.
Yeah, there you go. There, category. So let's start off with... Do you know anyone who has been sexually abused? You don't have to mention that person's name. You don't have to, you know, if you don't want, you don't have to talk about the situation. But what I'm more interested in is how did you handle it when that individual told you about it? No? Mm. No one's got nothing?
No.
Well, I do know someone.
Mm-hmm.
You mean within the realm of the church, correct?
Just anybody.
Oh, I'm
because it's not, so... Sexual abuse is obviously not restricted to the people in the church. We all know that.
Right.
But you come to the church for healing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when people, I got to tell you, when some people feel like, you know, when they come to the church, they don't want to talk about what's happened to them because they feel they'll be judged, right? So, but peeling it back a bit, let's say, someone came to you because the church really starts with you, you know, because you're a member of the church body. That person comes to you, they were sexually assaulted or abused or they've had it in their past. How did you react to it? And then what did you do about that situation? If anyone has had any said.
Well, I'm going to retract my answer. I initially said no. Mm-hmm. But as I think about it, when I was younger, late teen, met a couple of young ladies, were about to start relationships, you know, not to, at the same time, right. But and they did admit that that was part of their experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
How old were you when this happened?
Oh, 16 for the first time, and then I think 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So how did you... You don't have to tell the details, but mm-hmm. How did you handle that situation?
I think that it made me want to be closer to them, mm-hmm. like protect them, mm-hmm. For lack of a better word.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rix, now you said you knew somebody, but you didn't want to get into details about what you did, or
no. Now that I understand your question a little bit more, unfortunately, I know a lot of people who have shared their stories with me of being sexually assaulted in the church and like by friends and family members. Mm-hmm. So, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I would say for a few of my closer friends that I've known for at least 10 years, mm-hmm. it's not a lot of them. It was probably not shared until. With me within the last 2 to 3 years.
Wow. Wow.
Which says a lot.
And in both my cases, they were family members.
So, quick story for me. I know of many people who have been assaulted, both male and female. Now, the guy that I knew, when he told me about it, he was sexually abused by, I think, an uncle. And then because of that abuse, he was very promiscuous as a young man, mm-hmm. trying to prove that he is a real man, you know, not mm-hmm. being violated by another man. And now some people may take offense at what I just said, but I'm okay with that because remember what I told you at the beginning of the podcast, we believe in, we're all Christians here, so we believe in male and female. But ultimately, he felt that he was violated and he had to prove that he was a real man. So he slept with almost every woman he could come across mm-hmm. until he came to a person in the church. And they didn't judge him. They just sat him down and like, look, you know, you're really killing yourself, mm-hmm. you know. And I've seen that in a couple of people that I've come across. They were abused at a young age, and they just start having sexual partners with different people. And I don't understand what triggers that. Then there's other people who just don't trust ever again. Mm-hmm. There's a friend of mine. He has a son. We can't really tell if he was abused, but just his behavior is so out of whack. You know, he purposely, I mean, everything he does is, you know, based on trying to get over, and the kid's only like 11 years old. He's mm-hmm. trying to get over people, get over on people. He steals, he calls people's names. He's not respectful of authority. He acts up in school. He's like fights every single day. And, you know, it's almost like he's always planning something. And I remember asking him, I actually could not finish my sentence before he said, yes, I do. Mm. You know, I was like, you think he could have? He's like, yes. And I was like, you don't even know what I was going to say. And he's like, no, I know what you're going to say. And he said, my girlfriend thought the same thing. And I was like, wow, that's horrible. So how, as believers, as Christians, as people of the church, how do we deal with that taboo? Because first of all, people don't even want to talk about it. Yeah. No one wants to admit it because it's a shame in their mind. It's a shameful mark on their soul. But anyone who's listening to me, make sure you understand clearly that that is not a mark of shame for you. Okay. You are not alone in this. There are other people, but you should seek out help, right? Because this is an important subject. J2?
Whatever. Mr. Producer. Forget I'm here. Yeah.
Mr. Producer.
Right. You got to get like a little, we'll just edit my name or then. Insert whatever we decide on later.
Insert here.
You're right.
Yeah. I like that name. You could call me Insert Here. Artsy.
Right, right. So yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, I'm trying to think back. I mean, I've certainly had people confide with things like this. And even as a receiver of that information, you know, it's like you're almost helpless to help them. Mm-hmm. Because this is one of those things where the damage is done mm-hmm. and, you know, we say time heals all things or whatever, but certain things like this, it's like you can maybe forgive someone, but you can't forget certain things. And mm-hmm. these are like really traumatic experiences. And I think just in general too, this is like a deeper layer with, you know, Christianity and sexuality is already a very taboo subject. Mm-hmm. Right. So now we're getting into, you know, abuse and assault. And then it's like, you know, even beyond that, like the church has either you have things, you know, what people know of the Catholic Church, a lot of sexual, you know, abuse, or even just churches. You get pastors who are having affairs, and we hear that stuff all over. I mean, it's happened here long ago. Mm-hmm. No one here currently. But, I mean, these things happen, and then but in terms of like abuse, yeah, it's like, it's tough. Even as you're saying this, you know, just getting, even how you said that, and just to feel the weight that someone would feel such shame on something that was a horrible thing done to them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and why does the church tend to, you know, it's almost like certain things like these, they can't be brought to full light.
Right.
And in some matter of a way, there's some hushing of it, which doesn't help. And it that's both for the benefit of not exposing someone with this. And but yeah, this is a really, really tough subject. And
yeah, and you mentioned the Catholic Church, and I'm not going to beat up on them because they get enough flack as it is. But we tend to, as Christians, we tend to separate ourselves from the Catholic Church. But mm-hmm. to the unbeliever, even the salted, we're all in the same box,
right?
You know, and I got to admit, they're right, because you brought up a very good point about keeping it under wraps. And I have often told people that whether anyone believes it or not, if you are well endowed in the Word of God, you could potentially control someone's mind with it. No, not potentially. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've clearly seen how a person can influence another individual because of their knowledge of the Word. Now, granted, that is not how it's supposed to be used. But people, you know, even the devil misuses the Word, right? And so
think of the slave Bible.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Like significant scriptures were removed mm-hmm. in order to control.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, but someone who is so well endowed with the Word can, and like I said, I've seen it in the church where people make exceptions to that behavior. So say for instance, I'm not gonna beat up on the Baptist churches. This is just based on experiences. And when I was a kid in a church, and you'd have a lot of deacons who would sit up front, and they'd have all different babies from, and many of them not from their wives, you know, so because of their activities in the church, you know. Same with church leadership. There are pastors. We've seen it both the high profile ones on TV. We've seen the ones just, you know, down the street who will manipulate people using the Word to essentially control someone. Now, is that considered sexual assault? It can be, you know. Now, sexual assault is obviously if the other party does not necessarily agree, right? So, but does that, is sexual assault and sexual abuse one in the same? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because an assault is an act of violence on the individual.
Right.
Well, so is abuse, I guess. But so what would be the difference between the two? I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, so I apologize. But, you know.
I mean, I don't know. My sister's the lawyer here. But I don't know, like, I do know the legal term, mm-hmm. but I don't know right now. But anyway, I would say that, abuse to me means you're not using something the way that it was intended to right. be used.
Okay.
And so that's where, you know, so when you abuse something, you're doing something that's not intended for it, you know, and it's aggressive.
Right.
But I think that's probably what's different between abuse and an assault.
Okay.
Or maybe they could be one and the same, but.
All right. Anybody else?
I think they can be one and the same. I do think, though, that, you know, when you're in a position of authority, power, I'm going to say two things. When you're in a position of authority or power, you can abuse that in a way that, you know, to use that authority, to use that power in a way that it was not intended for your own personal gratification, uh-huh. right? And that may involve sex or sexual encounters. Uh-huh. And that's where a number of organizations go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But to focus strictly on the church,
okay.
In my mind, the church should be safe harbor.
Sure.
And so if you attend the church, give your time, you give your resources, you give your energy, the expectation is that is not abuse,
mm-hmm.
right? That's appreciated and respected. You send, and this is where, you know, we talk about other facets of Christianity. We talk about the Catholic Church. You send your children to church. You mm-hmm. let them be with a pastor or someone mm-hmm. in authority, and things happen, and nothing's done about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the church really gets in trouble, gets mm-hmm. itself in trouble, when we don't hold people accountable when things go wrong.
I agree. And it becomes difficult when that person is your friend, someone you have a great deal of respect for, someone you've grown up with. You know, when you have those individuals and now you have to hold them accountable, and it becomes kind of like, what side of the camp are you on? Are you pro this person or anti that person? That sort of thing. That's where you're going to run into problems, especially if it's, you know, now I'm not saying it's right, but you're going to run into problems where, I'm just going to use you guys as an example because I don't want to use, you know, individuals who have not authorized me to take, to talk about this. So let's say.
Producer.
Let's say
that's me.
Let's say producer was accused of sexually assaulting girl A, right? Or boy A, whatever, you know, and that person came to you, one of you, and said that producer A <That's> so weird.
All right.
You know, because that'll, you know, I was abused by that individual. What do you do? But I don't want to tell my parents. I don't want to tell the police. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. because I know you're that person's friend. What do you do? And go.
See, this is where it gets, this is where it gets even crazier in this sort of, because it's a lot of hearsay. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like right off the bat, like I've had situations where I've known people who were wrongly accused and people tried to find them a scapegoat. I won't use names, but you know, I know a pretty in-depth story where it got very serious, where this person was getting big trouble mm-hmm. and they had to prove they were not at the party. They were nowhere near. I mean, mm-hmm. You couldn't have picked a worse person to try to blame it on.
Right.
And then at the same time, too, it's like you hear of when someone comes to you like that, the first thing you're going to do is like, let's go to the police, let's do that. But you hear that that doesn't always work, mm-hmm. too. You know what I mean? So as Christians, you know, we have to have, I think, like going back to the abuse versus assault, like abuse has a lot more like of a manipulative mm-hmm. effect to it. Like assault could be a one-time thing, but abuse, you have gained someone's trust, and there's right. often like a big bond there.
Okay.
And so that's why you hear stories where people are like kidnapped and they're sexually abused or something forever, mm-hmm. and they get freed and they don't know anything but, and like seem to have a bond or attraction with their aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
So it is like definitely like an emotional manipulative thing. You know, like having someone come up and talk to you them. I mean, first thing, you just need to listen to them and hear what they're, you know, going to say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think someone said here when they were preaching one time, it was something to do with, I forgot the guy's name, but, you know, just ask, how can I help? I think it was with the orphans, but I just thought what, that was really good. What he brought up is just the first thing we do, we, you know, just offer to help in whatever way they need, you know, and that is such a tough thing, because how do you help? You know, what is, obviously we believe in God, we're Christians, so we're going to lead to praying and surrounding them with, you know, with the church and whatever we can do. But
so it's interesting that you said that you know a lot of people who are falsely accused.
Well, I've heard it.
Right. Two
of them that were.
Yeah, and I've also had, I've been involved with a situation where another guy that I knew, I worked with him, he was falsely accused. And no, I wasn't there, but what he did, so he was in the customer's home. He called me and he said, something's really weird going on here. The lady's acting very strangely. She keeps taking her clothes off. I'm not really sure what I should do. And I told him to get out of there and then immediately send an email to the boss indicating what went down, because she did go to the police and report a sexual assault incident. Mm. And so they had to take him out of the field. So he was like, while they did the investigation, but the way they went at him was so hard, And I was like, what is wrong? He showed you the email. He said he was uncomfortable. He left the job without finishing. He called his boss. He did everything he was writing. So you're saying that he did all that to cover his sexual assault? That doesn't make any sense, you know? So, but the cop told me afterwards, he's like, we do it that way. So, you know, when you have an emotional reaction, if you're not telling the truth, a lot of people do slip up then. That's why they come after. Because they kept asking him, why would she lie? Why would she lie? And he's like, I don't know why she would lie, kind of thing, you know? Then that same token, I've worked with people who were the sexual abusers. And they were charged with sexual abuse, but they said it was consensual, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in any case, you do have both spectrums. But if someone comes to you that you know, and they said that this person who you're very close with sexually assaulted them, what would you do? How would you handle that situation? Because there are many people who are in that scenario right now, and they're probably thinking to themselves, what should I do? What could I do? Do I go to the police? Do I go to the individual? Do I put the two in the same room? Da, 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 da. How do I know this person's telling the truth? You know, if I go to the other person, what do you do in that scenario? We don't know for sure. Let's be honest about that, because we're navigating this all together. But in your mind, what would be some of your suggestions? What would you do in this situation?
I think it depends on the context, right? Like, for example, if you're in corporate America and someone comes to you and says, hey, this happened to me, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then there are rules, regulations, HR policies, procedures, you know, who to call, right. Yada, 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 mm-hmm. right? But if you're in your daily walking around life and someone comes to you, you want to hear the full story. You want to understand and assess as best you can, how accurate is this information? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, if you're on the wrong end of that accusation, it's destructive.
Oh, right? 100%, yeah.
And we've kind of alluded to that already. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make the assessment to just try to understand the situation as best you can. The second thing is to then, you know, if you find it to be factual, or you know, if you assess that, hey, I agree, I think this sounds like what it is, you want to try to encourage that person to take the lead in addressing the concern or addressing the issue. Mm-hmm. I know the way you kind of positioned the argument, they don't want to do it, but you weren't there, right? And, you know, I think it's important for you to say, hey, listen, sounds like, you know, this is what happened. And I don't know if I'm getting in trouble for this, but there's sometimes when people say, oh, you have to automatically believe. You have to assess, I think, because you...
Okay. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to put my devil's advocate hat on again. Da, da, da. So, you have a son, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
What if he came to you and said that producer A had abused
them? Why is it always got to be me?
I don't know. It's just, you know,
I'm not a rap sheet lining up over here.
Right.
So, but seriously, you know.
I'm changing my name.
But if we, producer now, B.
Right. Because if it's someone we don't have a close personal attachment to, we're going to treat their claim with skepticism. Mm-hmm. So let's shift it to someone, bone of my bone, blood of my blood. Or is it blood of my blood? Bone of, I don't know. I don't know how they said it in Game of Thrones. But, you know, your offspring, right, comes to you, says, someone assaulted me.
I'm not going to sit here and say there won't be a different emotional reaction to that, right? But you still want to understand, like, what happened, when, where, how. Then you get the chainsaw. But
yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there, buddy.
But no,
I got the gas too, buddy.
not a chainsaw, but you know what I'm saying. Then you know you feel yourself with, okay, let's take action, right? Okay. And what you don't want to do, and this is a serious comment, you don't want to get into a situation where you put yourself in a space where you won't be able to be with, let's say, your son, right? After that. You know what I mean? So if you take action and law enforcement is engaged, and then you're taken off the field, so to speak.
You're behind bars or...
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that person is still left without your protection.
Right, right.
So twice, right? You put them in a position where you weren't there to defend them. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is listening, I would just make sure that that's part of the thought process. You get mad, but you take appropriate actions.
So, and I'm going to get to you one second, Rex, but the one thing that always sits in the back of my mind is if someone comes to you with said story, they have to be one of two things. Either they were really sexually abused or they've really, really got a messed up mind.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So discernment comes in right there, you know? Like, because unfortunately, the handful of people muddy the waters for the real people who are abused. We all know that, right? Mm-hmm. Male and female alike, right? So it's really difficult for me to, and I'll be honest, you know, if it was someone other than a family member, I would look at it with skepticism. Were you really, did you have something to drink? You know, and shame on me, I guess, for thinking that. But, you know, you want me, you come to me, you tell me, how do I know that person's telling the truth? You know, that's the difficult part. And then, but in that same token, I'm coming to you because I look up to you, I trust you, da-da-da. I tell you, and you don't believe me. You know, so it's like a catch-22. How do you deal with that? Because a person who is truly in need of help, they're going to pick up on that skepticism pretty fast. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do we deal with that? So,
well, I think that, I hate to say it depends, because compassion is compassion. And I really agree with what you said in regards to whether they're making it up or it's true, there's still a problem there. Mm-hmm. So if I'm presented with that, I hope it will always be met with compassion and like what producer A or B said, how can I help you? So the how can I help you can take on any type of form, but it's how can I help you, you know, in this, like whether I'd like to advocate for you, whether it's like some mental health resources or like, how can I help you? Like tell you if it's a child, like your mom, your dad or someone else. Mm-hmm. So it's initially compassion, but going back to something that B said, in regards to when you asked him about like if it was your child. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, sometimes parents or those who are in charge of the kids, the reaction may be denial or skepticism out of guilt sometimes. Like, you know, the core belief is there may be a true, not accusation, but a true, I don't know, accusation here. Because accusation, that's not the word I'm looking for. But there's some truth to what this person is telling me, but because I may feel guilty, a little bit of guilt for not being on my post, I'm going to deny your claim a little bit. And I think, but I've seen that happen. I've seen it because I wasn't alive. But a lot of times, like pathologically in families, there's so much denial because parents weren't on their post, right? And it was done by family members that we eat dinner with every day. So we got to deny it. We got to shrug off. You better go hug your uncle. Mm-hmm. Like, even though I just confessed this to you.
Right.
Oops, excuse me. Okay. So if it happens to a sibling, the sibling sees what the reaction was to, you know, this one. So I'm not going to say anything because they're just going to tell me to make up with uncle or aunt, you know, and then like nothing happened. And then I also want to point out, just don't forget what you have to say. And we could talk about this, you know. But I find it interesting, like, as far as the church's responses to allegations. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
Not accusations. Thank you. If you sit under, like, sermons, like church sermons enough, and you're around people enough, you kind of get a feel for what the church believes, like what their ideology is.
Right.
And so sometimes you could come to the conclusion whether or not you're going to say something based on what the church believes, right? And so what do I mean here? So a lot of people will agree and disagree, but the biblical story or historical account of David and Bathsheba, right? Was she raped? And so a lot of people are, no, she was raped. Other people like, no, it was consensual. Like she was, you know, like she basically got what she asked for mentality. And I think that says a lot to like, what do you believe? What does your church believe really happened in that story? But we could circle back to that.
Right. And let me interrupt real quick, because I know guys are blamed for this. They're like, look at how she was dressed, or look at where she was. You know, she had too much to drink, you know, victim blaming, which is what they call it. But boy, I'm going to get flagged for that. But but sometimes the person who is assaulted in some circumstances, they have some culpability also.
I disagree. Wait, let me rephrase that. I strongly disagree.
Okay. So you know, and I knew I was going to get flagged. But my point is that a lot of guys will look at it like, now, if you hadn't put yourself in that situation, it wouldn't have happened. Well, it shouldn't have happened to begin with. I get that. I totally get that. But you have to use wisdom not to put yourself in situations where you're going to be taken advantage of if you don't take the necessary steps. Now, if you take all the necessary steps to protect you and it still happens, that's different. You know, so, but say, like, for instance, there's this young lady. She went out of town. I worked with her, and she went out of town, and she, you know, and I'm not a big fan of women traveling by themselves. So I'll just put that out there. I don't think that's smart, you know, but you know, sometimes you have to do it. And this is not a business trip. She was going out, you know, visiting a friend. She went to a bar. I don't know if somebody slipped her or Mickey or whatever, but she woke up on a subway bench several hours later. Her purse was missing. Her money was credit cards, everything that she hadn't known when she was. She didn't know. She lost time. But she was by herself, you know, and she was out visiting a friend. She went to a bar to get a drink. Now, under normal circumstances, that would be, you know, that wouldn't be an issue. I asked her, I was like, did you leave your drink on the bar, you know, the basic, on, you know, and I wasn't blaming her, but I was trying to get her to see what was it that you missed, you know, that did you see someone? Did you talk to somebody? Da, 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 da. She said she doesn't remember any of that, you know, because I don't know. You know, it's just, but it's, I'm just glad that she's alive. And she wasn't, you know, she said that, I guess she could tell if she'd had sex, she said she didn't, that wasn't the case. And so she just, you know, got all of her credentials back when she came back home, and that was that. But that's scary. And I know women are taught at a young age, when you go out, you always bring a friend. When you go to the bathroom, you bring a friend. When you go to this place, you bring a friend. It's always two, you know, no less. So, and I'm not blaming her for going out on a trip by herself, but you put yourself at risk when it's just you.
So I'm going to say something. Mm-hmm. And I think that this entire... so
I'm going to catch it. I'm so going to catch it.
Like, it's a long table.
This entire conversation actually is a small part of a bigger conversation.
Okay.
Not just in America, but in the world. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, that we have a man problem.
Uh-oh.
Speak on that.
So,
well, before we do that, let's take a break. And then we'll bring it back at the end of this. Oh, my God. We'll be right back.
We got a lot of problems, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we left off with you, B.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're back, and welcome. And B, you're about to hit us with some knowledge, so I apologize for that, sir, and go.
So I ended, I guess, by saying that I think that this issue around sexual abuse in the church, outside the church, is indicative of a much larger issue in our society. And I think that I think that we have a male problem, And what I mean by that mainly is a male identity problem. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a man? in a society, and it's worse in some other areas of the world, right? Mm-hmm. This hyper aggressive, hyper physical, hyper
sexualized.
Just had to throw that in there.
Left dogs.
And it's something that I've actually been just looking into. I remember growing up and seeing. I'm going to date myself real bad, but like seeing a Charles Bronson movie, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, oh, I've done something. He'll punch the dude and walk away, and there's an explosion behind him, and then they do the slow walk, you know. And you see that in the Rambo, right, you know, right, Sly Stallone, and, right, and those cats, mafia movies, things of that nature, or even, you know, from a African American experience, you know, you the dude that is, you know, the black don of the of the neighborhood, so to speak. But there's always this power element that's associated with strength and masculinity, and then sometimes that's carried in terms of how you view other people. And in this case, we're talking about how you view, and how sometimes there's a sense of ownership of the female.
And that's been cultural. In some countries, it's still the case. You know, Saudi Arabia being one of them.
Saw a woman, she wasn't wearing a hijab. So, you know, she was, I'm not sure if she was killed or not, but she was hurt.
Yeah.
And so, but it's not, if it was just that area, we could say, oh, they're messed up. But it's maybe not as violent, but it's still there. Right? So, bring the hate. I'm here.
And that, like, you know, like how you said, it's like goes back around, is our art and media a reflection of society? Is our society a reflection of art and media? And it's kind of like a vicious cycle, because as we've been talking about this, like even when I brought it up, I'm like, I didn't want to be the guy who just starts with, like, in my experience, I've had a couple of ones that were, they didn't line up, you know what I mean, with what I was being told. And it's like, from a man perspective, I think we think of these scenarios, and then we think of the other side, like, what if someone accused me, and like I was charged with this. So when you get into the situation when someone's telling you these things, you're like, I really need to know this is true, because I'm about to call someone like a rapist, you know what I mean? And it's like, if that happened to me and it was not true, that'd be, you know, that would be bad too. And so, like, too, like, just the, even the discussion we've been having, I can, like, see it so much, because, like, someone I know, rewind. So, you know, like, for me, it's like, in one way you could look at it as a woman, it'd be sexist to be like, you can't go by yourself, you know, you're not strong enough. But at the same time, like, as a man, you're like, I know how crazy dudes are and, like, how sexually orientated they are. And it's like when you say victim shaming and victim blaming, I think so much it's just because the perspective is so, like, hey, like, if you're wearing something promiscuous, it's like, you're not deserving of anything of what happens. But it's like, if I'm running around with, like, fire, it, you know, I'm surrounded by paper, you know what I mean?
Or gasoline.
Like, you know how some dudes are going to react to that. And it's more of like a warning of like just.
But that's it, though. I mean, he feels I'm entitled to her. Right? I should have what I want, because I've been told that as a man, I should go out and get what I want. I'm alpha.
But so they take that hunter-gatherer term to the next step, or a little too far.
Way too far.
Do you believe that it is taught by society, or is it something innate that men have?
No, it is absolutely taught by society. It's in our Bible. How many wives does this person have? How many wives does that person? How many husbands does that female have?
Okay.
One, right? Let's just call a thing a thing.
Well, okay, so cultural-wise, women were considered a little more than property back during that time. And now, I just want to clarify, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that the Bible agreed with it.
The question was, is it taught?
Oh, right? I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It runs through our lines. It runs from Middle East to Europe to America.
Okay. Right?
So you think we're all taught separately in all different areas of the world, or do you think there's a natural thing that makes it to where it is enforced through?
I like that question. because not everybody. I think that it's kind of how we're taught as human beings. I'm bigger, generally. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm more powerful, generally.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? All that hate's gonna go to B. I appreciate you shifting that attention toward you, man. That was a good pass. I appreciate that.
So this is what brings this up to me. We were talking about dressing in a certain way and going out by yourself. I heard a woman once, I never had this thought in my life. Mm-hmm. She says, I was told by my mother that when I go out, if I take a jog by myself, I cannot have my hair in a ponytail.
Because they could grab you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That thought has never gone across my mind.
Yeah, since you have none,
I have none.
You ain't got to worry about it.
Right. But if someone wants to grab her and they grab her ponytail, that's game.
Yeah.
Right.
Shift her balance. She'll be thrown out of balance. Right. She'll be at a disadvantage. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. So, I never really thought of that either. Ricks, what do you think about that?
A lot. So it makes me think about like church culture, mm-hmm. and how, the burden of modesty is always placed on women, right? Like as far as what you wear, how you act, the burden is always placed on women instead of like raising up and teaching men, you know, to probably get rid of like their lustful spirits. And I think,
I can't wait to get into this.
Back to what, producer and B was saying about like what's innate in men. Mm-hmm. I think we make excuses sometimes that it's innate in men just to be, because a part of it is true that men like they're attracted by like their eyes and like
we are visually triggered. Yeah.
Yes. Visually. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
we like what we see.
Right.
We don't look at a woman but like she's got to have a stellar personality. No, that is not what we look for at first.
Right.
That's not how I looked at my wife, at least. That's for sure.
And I do believe that that's true. Like, men are visual beings. That's true. But we cross the line and it becomes a perverse thought to say, because you're so visual, you have all the passes in the world. And because you're so visual,
we're not excusing men for that. We just know that not every guy's a Christian, and guys who aren't Christian that are out there with,
so
you know what I mean.
So
I hope it's not confused.
Wait, is
that
yeah. Oh, I thought that was a lady.
Paint.
Oh, okay. I was about to be gone. right, but what do we teach men? Because we have all these rules. Not rules, but like don't go out at night, like, you know, and all that, which is safety first. Mm. Like my dad will always say, be alert. But what are the rules we're giving the men?
Be strong. Be powerful.
That in regards to like
everything
coming against sexual assault. Like, what are we telling them? Like, are we telling them don't stare? Are we telling them like what are we telling them?
Don't stare. You know,
if you're a Christian, lust is in the heart. So, I mean, it goes from staring or whatever you think about a woman, you're supposed to not lead into that sexuality, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, you've opened up a door that I never really thought about, because the things that we do teach our sons, you know, protect the weak, you know, there's a reason why. And I'm not sure if we've ever talked about this, but there's a reason why when there are mass shootings, men are the most people who are killed, because they're the ones shielding the wife, the mother, the children, that sort of thing. And they're many times they're shot in the back. Why? It's because they turn to cover. That's what we've been taught, is to protect. Now, the aggressor part of it, I ain't gonna lie, we do teach our sons to be, you know, assertive and aggressive, because like it or not, women do look for that in a man. You know, yes, there has to be a line, but I always tell young guys who are coming up, there are two things that a woman looks for in you initially, where she's even going to even spend any more time with you. Do I feel safe around you? And do you make me laugh? Right? Mm-hmm. Those are two of the initial things. If you can't do either one of those, you can hang it up, brother. You go to the next one, you know? So when it comes, yeah, we do teach aggression, because guess what? You want a man to come for you, because when a man finds a woman he finds a good thing, right? So that means he has to go after it. Now, I'm not saying he has to go in like a caveman and grab her by the ponytail and start sexually assaulting her. Absolutely not. But in that same token, just like you told your son, when someone says stop, you have to stop right away. That connection to a lot of men is very slow. I'm not saying it's okay, but, you know, when, oh, I'm going to get flagged for this. When they say no means no, but not always no, you know, so, and let's just be honest, some people are like that. And so that's where you get your signals mixed up, you know? So, and I'm not saying that's okay. And I'm not saying that I'm signing off on it, but, you know, say what you mean and mean what you say. If I say no, that's that. That's like, no, not right now, just in a few minutes. Not like that. You know what I'm saying? No, but I really mean yes. You know, you, that's too confusing for for men. I'm so, not giving us a pass on that. I'm just saying, you know. So
I'm going to add this. I think that where we drop the ball when it comes to training and teaching men, I think that where women a lot of times are kind of ahead of us in this way, generally speaking. We teach, we don't really help men understand how to behave and how to grow and how to mature, not just in their physical way, or not just as your voice gets deeper, not as you get six and a half feet tall, whatever, but then there's also emotional maturity. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably where, when I think we're failing men, we're failing these young boys and we're bringing them up, and they're, you know, it's the emotional component. A lot of guys are smart. They can do accounting, mathematics, mm-hmm. you know, jumps 10 feet in the air, playing sports or whatever. But I think that the emotional element is what's missing.
But even in that same token, when it comes to emotion, we tell the boys, suck it up. You're going to be a man. Exactly. You can't be crying about everything. You can't be, oh, woe is me kind of thing. You just really have to get, you know, you're going to get bumped on the head, you know, just wipe it off and just keep rolling. So when we do that, and then we get mad with the product that comes up with, because, you know, that's how I was raised essentially, you know, but of course, when I come across people who are more emotionally intelligent, I'm not sure if that's a term.
That's it.
I struggle. What used to come out of me was aggression, mm-hmm. because I couldn't keep up. So I'm not saying that I beat up on a lot of people. I'm just saying, you know,
understand you.
Understand this.
Ooh, Lord, I'm going to get it. I just responded with aggression. Like, and it could have taken many forms. I would just get up and leave. I would just get angry. You know, I'd start saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Da, 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 da. When they were in full control of their emotions. And I got to tell you, I'm going to take a page out of B's book. I don't know how we're going to, because unfortunately with a lot of men who've come up, they didn't have any male role models in their lives. So not sure how we got way on this part here, but
that might be my fault.
Yeah. Cause we're going to have a relationship episode later on and I can't wait to get into that. I'm going to get beat up on that one too. So
maybe not.
No, I'm pretty sure I will. Thank you, Rex. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I will. You know, if it's either you or my wife, someone's going to beat on this. So producer number ABDC.
Call me Zelly. How about that?
Zelly?
Z-E-L-L-Y.
Zelly?
Zelly.
We get an hour into the show. You want to call something? Yeah.
Well, we got to decide at one point.
Right.
Zelly.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back here. Because then we'll get back to the artist formerly known as producer, known as Zelly. We'll be right back here.
He won't even feel it, Erica. Just
right.
Okay.
If you do it right, he won't even know. He won't even know it happened.
All right, we're back. Yeah, this is a tough topic, and we all have different opinions. Whether they're male, female, left, right. Can you hear, B?
You're recording, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. So I just want everyone who's listening to just take a deep breath, We're not misogynistic. We're not anti this or anything like that. We just want to put the idea out there and let's talk about it. Let's just have honest conversations. So, you know, if you have complaints about the podcast, please direct them to B. He's the, no, seriously. If you guys have complaints or whatever, let's be respectful, you know, and like we always say, we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable. Okay. So what was your name? Zelly? Zanthrit? Okay. Yeah, okay. So what'd you have to say, Zelly?
So, I mean, just to go off what you said, yeah, I mean, this podcast is obviously a Christ-centered. So all these seem to, all of our comments are coming from like within our sort of societal view, you know, but as Christians, you know, like there's nothing that separates any one of us from, you know, God's love and God's forgiveness, God's grace. And, you know, we see these things just because whether we can debate all day, whether we are different because we're taught, whether it's innate, whether it's a violent cycle, but God's truth is, you know, the same for all of us. And, you know, there's so I was going to bring up too, just because this has happened to me, you know, we said this and I'm like, I never been sexual assaulted, but you can consider this sexual assault. I was downtown with some friends. We were out, you know, going to bars and dance clubs and stuff. And so we ran into some girls, and this is true. Like, I wasn't being promiscuous or anything. We were just talking with these girls, and one of them grabbed me inappropriately and was laughing about it, you know?
Right.
And I was like, yo, what's, like, you can't do that, you know? And so in that moment, I was like, I literally can't do anything because I can't get her thrown in jail. But I'm like, she like just straight up sexually assaulted me, you know, what would be considered. So it's like, and this isn't like, you know, this or that, but this is just adding to like, you know, part of it is me as a guy. It's like, I didn't even think of it as much of, you know, sexual assault or the fact that I would forget that until now and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I guess someone... did touch me like way inappropriately.
And I think that happens more often than we think. It's just guys don't say anything. I'm not dismissing the fact that it doesn't happen to women because we know it does. But looking at society, if some guy comes up to you and be like, man, some woman grabbed me in the crotch. And then they've got this like, you know, this down look, the guys would be like,
they'd be giving you a high five. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, that's what's supposed to happen. You know? So, you know, but if you're like, no, I was assaulted, you know, I'm like, you know, then that's where I guess maybe toxic masculinity would come in, because then they'd be like, you chump, you know, really, you know, that, you know, that's a, but you can't put your hands on other people without their permission, right? Male or female. But like you said, or maybe as I said, I don't know, but is it treated the same?
Yeah, and you know, it's like, and yeah, no matter what the rules are, you know, the rules could be clear for everyone. Truthfully, you know, Erica has every right and every rule to walk anywhere she, no? Oh, yeah.
Ricks.
We got to put a...
Yeah.
We got name tags. I've been forgetting to get them.
All right. Well, what do you want me to do here?
Well, it's too late now. It's not the first time they've done this by accident.
So. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, anyone has the total freedom to do anything they want here. And this discussion, you know, that's, I guess, is the fun part of figuring out why we have this dichotomy between men and women and... but certainly, I forgot where I was going with this, but, you know, again, this is just umbrella under, like, the church has a hard time really understanding sexuality and a lot of different things. Even, you know, just time and time again, these are the things that are sort of shushed or something when something bad happens. And, I mean, to even as we've been going, it's like to really play devil's advocates as Christians, you know, like we're to lead everyone to Christ. So now it's like it's hard for people to put themselves in like in terms of the assaulter.
Right.
But like clearly, like especially when you get into more and more stuff like this, children's stuff and like these people are like something's mentally wrong, you know, and like what as a church, if you had, you know, sexual predators come to your church asking for help, like what would we do in that scenario, you know? And that is like,
We have a room for those people. No, but seriously, they need help just like the abused. And that is often overlooked because we're supposed to love all. And full transparency and be honest, that would be very difficult for me. For someone who is an admitted child molester. Now, In my job, I've come across a couple of them. And though I knew I was superior in strength, I could defend myself, I never turned my back on that individual. I don't know why, you know what I'm saying? But can you love someone like that? Can you accept? Now, obviously, the law prevents people like that from being within X amount of feet of, I'm not sure if it's children or buildings with children or how that works. Yeah. But, you know, I have an app that identifies wherever I am, people who've been convicted of sexual assault. And I can pull it up and they got their pictures. And I've been shocked by some of the people that I found out were, convicted of sexual assault. Now, there are many degrees of that and that sort of thing. The person's 18, the other person's 17. That would be considered rape. That's sort of, is the statutory rape? I can't remember. But that would be considered sexual assault. Consensual or not, person under 18 cannot give consent, that sort of thing. So, but then there are people with aggravated and all this other stuff, you know. So, as a believer, I guess it's easy to love the people that don't have those kind of marks on them. But the Bible doesn't say, you know, love everyone except for this group of people. Right. Doesn't say that, right? So, but I'm not saying it's going to, in the Lord knows that it's not going to be easy. But Jesus clearly set the bar that I can tell you that I don't clearly meet. That's for sure. When it comes to loving everybody, you know, or even accepting people, you know, I'll just be honest, you know, it's just, there's just certain behaviors that's hard for me to get past, you know, like being a Cubs fan. I mean, really? You know, who does that?
And obviously the church's reaction. I don't mean to jump that because we never really, it started with, you know, how, you know, somebody who is a victim of this, how would we treat them? And, you know, that it's like a lot easier to figure out because it, you know, you at least know you're on their side and are feeling for a victim and you don't blame them for anything. But then on the other side, you know what I mean? And yeah, that's rough. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, it made me think. I think you raised such a good question. Like, you know, the flip side of that, like how we handle and treat the one that did the assaulting. And in this context, the sexual assault, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very good. If you think, it makes me think about how the church has handled those who have done the sexual assault, who have been in power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I know where you're going now.
Well, they don't put that on the bulletin.
They don't. And they are met. They are not. And they are met with so much grace and mercy.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Because it goes in line with the abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on who you are. Mm-hmm. It's been our experience, you know, like it depends on who you are, like how we respond to those who are, you know, the.
So how should we respond? Okay, let's say it was a person, let's say it was a pastor. Mm-hmm. Let's say that. How do you deal with that? Now, I can tell you, from experience, people have left Christianity because of that, you know, and they should not have because you don't place your faith in a man. But that's a different podcast altogether.
But it's understandable. It's
100%. 100%. 100%. And I need to take a quick break here. I'll get back to mine. 1 second. Okay, we're back. You got your technical issue worked out there, Rick?
I believe so.
So where were we when we left off there? Bueller.
Oh, you were saying if a pastor is accused. Oh,
yeah. Right.
How do we handle it?
So how do we handle that? That's a person that the top of the mountain when it comes to church governance, right? So, and we've seen that in the past, and we've seen how it's been handled. So how do you think that it's currently handled, and how should we handle it? Because you're right, there is a ton of grace handed down to people in power. If it's just Joe Schmo or Jane Schmo, that person is bounced out of the church, which is not something we should do, I don't think, because then what happens to that person when they go to another church and another church and so on and so forth?
And it might not even be grace. Like, I don't know if it's grace for them or just not wanting to accept that, like, your pastor, someone that was hired in your church, you know, or just making
A lot of times I've seen they flipped it on the victim. I've seen a lot of that. It's how she was dressed. You know, she was very – she was the one that lured the pastor in. The married man who knows better. She was the one who, look, those things are very possible. But when someone says I was sexually assaulted, you have to take it as truth unless you can prove it otherwise, right? Which, of course, makes the other party guilty until proven innocent, which is not how our society, that's not how it should work, but we know it works that way. So how do we, how do we handle that?
I mean, are we going like assuming like we know it happened?
How would you handle it?
If it's like, but you
don't know because it's he say, she say, right? So you can't, as an individual, you can't know one way or the other, but this person's come up to you and be like, hey, I've been sexually assaulted by a pastor. Not your real pastor, but your pastor, but you know, as in this scenario, what do you do? How do you handle it?
Yeah, I think you meet people separately, get their stories, then have them meet together, see their reactions. If one of them's wiling out, I don't know. I'm not a therapist.
but then that person says, "Well, I don't want to meet with him. He raped me, and you want me to sit in the same room with him?"
That's true.
You know. So, and then the other guy in the other end, the pastor's like, "You've known me for your entire life. You've known me for 20 years. I have children. Da 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 da. I would never do such a thing." So. Man, what do you do? What do you do?
Okay, so this story is going to answer that question. It's a very popular church in the Chicago area. And large church. Mm-hmm. And the pastor was accused of sexual assault. Okay. Like maybe at least two women. At least one, I would say. But I think it was more than one. Mm. And like she told her story. And what the church did was they sat him down and did like an internal investigation. Mm-hmm. The investigation was done and it turned, according to their investigation, like he was cleared of all like accusations.
So they investigated their own entity and they're like, oh no, everything's good here.
Exactly. So, and then of course she was made to seem like
a Jezebel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then an external investigation was done and the truth came out that he really did assault her. Mm-hmm. And I want to say maybe someone else, but at least her who initially made the investigation. Mm-hmm. And he resigned or he was forced to resign. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea to start with an investigation. It's just how do we investigate without invalidating
lie detectors.
All parties. Maury, we need you.
Lie detectors up in here.
Well, but people can beat lie detectors, unfortunately. So,
well, and even how you said, like, with it being, you know, proven, and then it's like they resigned. I think that's a big problem the church just has, like, when just coming from the easy thing that, like, yes, we found out this happened, and mm-hmm. still to try to dance away and make it go away without putting a stain on the church, where it's like, no, we're Christians. This was wrong. You're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, like, it's not that people can't sin and have a position at the church too, but there are certain things that are just like, no, that takes too much to get into that sin, and like if you commit that, like it's one and done, strike right. 1 year.
I think a lot of times that's where things kind of get really crazy. You have the initial issue, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, one party may or may not have acted poorly against another party, right? But then when you involve the church, when the church itself is involved, a lot of times we get in trouble here, it becomes a business decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, And then, and we see it, you know, even with the Catholic Church, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So then, and then that's where, you know, when you're talking about barriers to Christ, mm-hmm. and there's someone who's not a Christian that's kind of lying in the cut, just watching, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what you do, and you see that, you know, a person is, you know, they're counseled, right? Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, mm-hmm. and we're going to send them on a sabbatical mm-hmm. to yeah. meet, get with God. Or, you know, or nothing is done. That's where folks really lose faith in the church.
Sure.
And that's when we prevent a soul mm-hmm. from getting to Christ, mm-hmm. right? And so and you've been making this point throughout the afternoon, Zelly, that, you know, because you're tying it back to, you know, how does the church react to things of that nature and saying, hey, we're Christians, right? What we should be doing is you know, holding ourselves and individuals accountable to behaving like a Christian. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when we don't do that, that's when, you know, especially if it's a big enough entity like the Catholic Church or a big mega church and the pastor gets himself in trouble, and there's no accountability.
Right.
You mentioned earlier, Ricks, that, you know, sometimes you're sitting, you're in a church and there's a deacon up front, three or four of them, and they got like four or five ladies, you know.
That was Jay.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. There's a
deacon. I don't have it. No, I just...
Jay was the deacon.
Right, right. There's no accountability, and you can look at a church and see three or four children look just like them.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You know that looks weird, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you praise God, you mm-hmm. holding the Bible, mm-hmm. waving it up, mm-hmm. but yeah,
cheating on your wife.
Cheating on your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they're sorry, I'm not going to interrupt you. But like, if the good thing for the church were to do, if something was like that, it, you know, no one is beyond saving. You know, if this some crazy thing happened and like, you know, a pastor had kids with multiple women and somehow, you know, like miraculous transformation, like the only way that's going to resolve is like if the church is straight up brutally upfront about it. Like, this is what happened. This is what the Bible says. You know, this person needs to step down. They could, you know, whether they're there at the church, but I didn't mean to cut it on you. But
no. I mean, but that has to be the ultimate answer. I think that's where the church just gets itself in trouble a lot of times. When we then it becomes a problem of how do we protect the church?
Mm. Yeah,
and not how we protect mm-hmm. this victim or these mm-hmm. children. Right.
Right?
Wow. That's when it's really bad. Mm-hmm. And I saw we've been talking about church attendance, and no matter where you are in America, there's always a discussion about how church attendance is dwindling. I don't know where the lady got her facts from. Watching cable news about a week and a half ago, and she was kind of talking to that, and she said, you know, church attendance really dropped, like in a significant, measurable way, between 2000 and 2006. She's saying, guess what happened at that point? And that was the Catholic Church fiasco, right? That's what she said. And so it's that, and the fact that there was not accountability for what was happening to children,
right?
Not consensual adults, but you know, and so, how many souls missed an opportunity of hearing the word,
right?
Getting a relationship with Jesus, whether it's through the Catholic Church or any still Christianity, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I just think that you know, it can't be. It's something we really have to be on guard about.
Okay. Outstanding, B. Good. Yes. I think that's a good close for us. Look, when we search for the answer, we always take different paths, but we always come to one truth, that we as believers, we have to protect one another. Whether you believe the individual who's the accuser or the accused, we have to love both. And we have to cover both, because that is what God has called us to do. And ultimately, the church body, the church of Christ, will be better for it. But we have to search in our own hearts that we have to love one another and truly love one another not because they, you know, it's easy. Mm-hmm. It's easy to love people that you like. It's the ones that are unlovable who are the ones we have to love. All right. With that, round table. Rick, do you have anything?
I do not. Okay, no, actually, I take that back. Yes, I do. I just want to also say, like, to anyone who's listening who may feel discouraged about coming forward, about anything that has happened, we hope that that is not your takeaway and that you find someone safe to share your story with. And if you need for us to recommend someone, Jay, if you need someone and you don't have anyone in your circle, Jay will provide some sources for you at the end of this.
We sure will. B, what you got, buddy?
I cannot follow that up. That was pretty good, because we do want to end with just providing hope and opportunities and resources if there is a need. So very well said, Rick.
Yeah.
And whatever your name is, yeah. Producer Zelly.
I don't want to identify after this one. And just as this has gone along, you know, we obviously take this a lot of perspectives, and that's just about getting, you know, the thoughts and all the things that are about these conversations that don't always happen in the church, you know. And again, hopefully any of that doesn't detract for, you know, sexual assault, sexual abuse is a serious thing, a very serious thing. And when this happens, there is no debating on what is the Christian thing to do. And all the other decisions to make in these scenarios, you know, hopefully we don't have to deal with it personally here, but I should have left that part out too. Just end the podcast.
All right, with that, we'll see you guys next time. Be safe, and we'll see you when you see you.